If I was a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I was a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaves. If I was a flower growing wild and free, all I'd want is you to be my sweet honeybee. And if I was a tree growing tall and green, all I'd want is you to shade me and be my leaves. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. The rumble of your water would be my call. If you were the winter, I know I'd be the snow, just as long as you were with me when the cold winds blow. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. If you were a wink, I'd be a nod. If you were a seed, well, I'd be a pod. If you were a floor, I'd wanna be the rug. And if you were a kiss, I know I'd be a hug. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea. If you were the wood, I'd be the fire. If you were the love, I'd be the desire. If you were a castle, I'd be your moat. And if you were an ocean, I'd learn to float. All I want is you, will you be my bride? Take me by the hand and stand by my side. All I want is you, will you stay with me? Hold me in your arms and sway me like the sea.
So, und hallo nochmal zum Anarchistischen Radio, die Wochenendsendung jedes Sonntag um 20 Uhr auf 94.0. Diese Woche haben wir ein kleines Theaterstück, ein Dialog zwischen ein Hirn und ein Magen. Und das ist über offene Beziehungen, die eine Idee, wie wir können weitergehen mit Beziehungen in einen anarchistischen Kreis.
Ja, dieser Dialog soll eben den inneren Konflikt, den die meisten, die eben versuchen, ihre Beziehungen so zu leben, durchmachen. Also zum einen, was das Hirn betrifft, die Ideen, die Theorie dahinter, aber zum anderen der Magen, der dann eben halt die Emotionen widerspiegelt, die meistens kaum irrational zu erklären sind.
Und das ist keine Lösung, aber es ist ein übersetzter Text von einem französischen kleinen Heftel Contre l'amour. Und da gibt es 5 Texte und wir haben nur eins übersetzt. Das ist dieser Dialog. Und wir fangen an. Und das ist leider auf Englisch. Wir haben nicht genug Zeit zum deutschen Übersetzung, aber vielleicht noch einmal auf diese Sendung wird ein deutsches Version geben. Diese Woche kannst du diese englische hören. Okay, fangen wir an. The head versus the stomach. A short dialogue on love. Preface. The curtain rises. A stomach and a brain are on stage, enchained one to the other by an umbilical cord which loops ungracefully across the stage between them. On the wall is a portrait of a young girl, Elle.
I discovered some new and wonderful things recently. Readings and discussions, conferences and gatherings. I have learned of anarchism and feminism. I have come to realize what goes on behind every second of our daily life, all of our social conditioning, all of our involvement within the system.
Me too. I've discovered some new things as well. There's this girl, Elle. I've fallen in love with her, and she loves me too. It's fantastic. It's super. It's unique.
Two simultaneous attractions of the opposite.
Yeah, love.
How interesting. Sit down and tell me all about it.
Brain takes out a notebook and starts to write. So, I feel a little bit weird, a bit blue and a bit pink, a bit stressed, a bit calm, fragile and powerful.
Rather blue or more pink? Calm or more anxious?
Sometimes one more than the other. One straight after the other. Sometimes all at the same time.
Where? When? Now?
Wait. So, here's an example. The other day, after only three minutes chatting, I felt it here in the stomach.
There?
Yeah, actually, no, higher, there.
Where was this torture? It hurt. Or it tickled.
It was orange. Then it turned round and climbed up into my lungs. It felt good. She's so beautiful, Elle. She's really stunning, don't you think?
Beauty, beauty, beauty. Beauty is a social constructed concept and very relative. I find Elle very interesting above all else. We have such intellectual discussions. Her ideas amaze me.
Yeah, I think she's really pretty and nice, too. I love her so much. And she implied that she loves me, too. I'm sure she loves me. There's nothing left but to make it formal and become boyfriend and girlfriend.
Boyfriend and girlfriend? Why would you do that? You don't need to be a couple to have special moments together.
All our friends who fall in love with girls end up in relationships.
Yes, but there's one thing none of our friends think about. When they enter a relationship, and which is also, without a doubt, the main reason for the ginormous problems within couples, they will also never be able to see or solve it clearly. It's what we call affective or emotional property. When you form a couple, you decree a form of property. I own you, you own me. You don't have the right to cheat on me or dump me.
Yeah, and? We're together, so what?
No, no, no. It's not right. Ownership is wrong. Affective property is an extreme form of stinking oppression. Everyone should be free to live their affairs with whoever they want, whenever they want. No relationship or social conduct should prevent that. Understand?
No.
If we want things to change, we have got to change our daily behavior. If we find affective property unjust, we must stop applying it. We must create and try out other forms of emotional relationships, more free forms. We must try opening ourselves to non-exclusivity. Right here in front of us, we have the chance to try out a non-exclusive relationship. Alice of the mind frame to be interested by these principles. Grab the opportunity. Try it out. See what it will bring. Where it takes us. See if we, the young men that you and I are a part of, are able for this. Give it a chance and see what will come. See that it's possible to live that which you resent us. It will be a terribly passionate adventure, exploring deep into our interior. We will discover so many new things. You'll see. Love, as you call it, can be a pleasurable experience, but also a psychological and political experiment. Understand?
No.
Suggest the idea of an open, polyamorous, non-exclusive relationship to Elle.
No, I'm not okay with it.
We don't care. Don't forget that I am the brain and you nothing more than a stomach. It's me who does the deciding.
Fascio, despot, forked-tongued dictator, vicious lunatic.
Come on, come on. This won't help in any way. Remind yourself that it is I who will know at the end of this all what is good for us. You see nothing but the short term. You're incompetent. It's like that. I calculate, I think, I ponder, I am deep. So it is only to your advantage if you trust me.
Act 1, many weeks later.
Hey, stomach, something's not right. You're in love.
Yes.
But you're too much in love. You have become dependent.
And how? Everything I feel depends on her. My happiness, my calmness, my health and unhealth. Everything, absolutely everything depends on her. It also depends on if she is there or soon to come or soon to leave. When she looks at me, when she speaks to me, when she touches me, thinks of me. If she is sweet or harsh or indifferent. If she depends on me or not, all my time is concentrated on Elle. Either I am with her or I think of her. I think all the time about her, of her face, her smell, her taste. I wait for only one thing, to see her, to have her. Nothing else counts. It's painful, but it's beautiful. It's love.
You're so dependent on her that you wish to possess her.
Yeah, I want her all for myself, all of the time. I need her always. I asked her to be there for me always. I'm scared not to have her anymore. I will die. I need her to live. I want her.
You want to possess her, but I don't want it that you want it like that. Al is also captivated by the idea of an open relationship, so we have decided to create one between us. You don't have the right to possess Al.
But what do you want me to do? I'm in love. I can't do anything about it. If I want to possess her, it's because I love her.
She's your drug and you are scared to lose it. Al has power over you, so you want to have power over her. You're dependent on her, so you want her to be obliged to always be there for you.
Wait a minute there. Where's the problem? She loves me as well. On the bottom line, she also wants to possess me. If I possess her and she possesses me, we possess each other equally. There is no hierarchy.
Do you accept that she possesses us?
For sure. If we possess her, it's normal. It's equal.
Are you sure? What will you say when the day comes that you fall in love with someone else? You feel enchained or guilty? Is it not a lot easier to be independent? Is it not better to respect and follow one's own wishes, desires, and the evolution of one's own sentiments calmly, without fear of being reproached?
Yeah.
Think of it, stomach. Think of the internal disgust which was always followed you at the thought of being imprisoned in a relationship of just two.
He takes out his notebook, searches the page, and reads.
It was gray, green, and heavy in the esophagus.
Nearly brownish.
With a dark shadow, little to the right.
I want to be free.
Yes, you do. But if you want Elle to respect your freedom, you must also respect hers.
I don't understand you. You speak of things far away. I tell you of now. Now I need Elle. I don't need freedom for anything.
Listen here. We don't want a hierarchy between Elle and us, right? We don't want to suffocate Elle. No, we do want her to suffocate us, right? An equal love where each is respected and recognized, right? We're okay, so to be equal, either we both possess each other, Elle and us, or nobody possesses anybody. And between equal possessiveness over one another or equal freedom, it's clear that the second choice is more beneficial. Elementary, my dear Watson. I am free, you are free, all is good.
Ha, you're a pain in the neck. You're so annoying. You formulate everything. This plus that is greater than nothing plus everything. I don't care for your equations. I love her.
That's too easy. Stomach love does not justify everything. Third quote. He messed her up, he followed her, because he loved her. He killed her, he loved her too much. Quote end. It's too easy to let your emotions go out of control under the pretext that they are romantic. Love cannot be put under all these poetic oppressions. Reflect, stomach. Reflect a little. And stop the big boo-hoo. Love is nothing but a you. And if you love, then I alone will be enough and dot dot.
But leave me alone. You're a pain in the neck. You complicate my life.
Not at all. That what I say is a non-complicated as hello. An open relationship is a bit like a good friendship. We ring when we want to see each other. We kiss when we are full of desire. We embrace each other without obligations or expectations, etc., etc.
But in your openness, you miss something. I want to say the intensity of love. It's true. And the other thingy, the open thingy, it just doesn't hold any ground with me. It seems distant, unattached. Its tenderness has limits.
Yes, in a sense.
I don't want that. I don't want a love with limits, not me. I want both involved to be as passionate as each other, as much as I am.
You want to enclose them in a couple.
Exactly. That's it. A couple.
That's bad.
What does that even mean, bad? I don't understand.
Okay, we tried another way. Go on. Tell me why you want so much to be in a couple. To have her always close to us. Close to you.
Yeah. But not only about that closeness. To be in a couple, it appeases my doubts. Before we got in a couple, I doubted that Elle appreciated me. That she preferred others. Now we are together. It's fixed. It's official. She is with us, and so voila, it's me she prefers above all.
It's us she prefers above all.
Yeah, yeah. You, me, us, mus, yum, all. It's us. It's crazy. It's me she prefers.
So a couple is something we decree. The day we say
this is it. We are a couple from today. You're my lover. It's like we changed status.
Voila. The status of lover reassures me. I've nothing more to fear. We're together. Point. I don't have anything else to win, to seduce. My anxiety is all appeased. The competition is over. I have won. I have L.
Effectively, you search a sort of insurance.
And a lover. It gives you a lot of security. Yeah, it's like a big benefit. Its eyes always turn to you. Ears who drink your words. Thoughts who can't free themselves of you, even when you aren't there. It's really reassuring. It gives confidence. You are well and deserve it. And the proof is that someone else is entirely concentrated on you.
You're dependent on L to have confidence in yourself. But L will not indefinitely be concentrated on you.
If we're in a couple, yeah, in some parts. When you're in a couple, you have less doubts. It's with your non-exclusivity. That's where we're never sure. We never know if the other loves us truly. We are in constant doubt. It's super tiring after a while. In a couple, we're sure.
But that's where you're mistaken, Stomach. You're hallucinating. A couple does not get rid of your doubts. You know well that sentiments like those between us and L, as between others, are fluctuating, unforeseeable, uncontrollable. They rise and fall, and refall and turn tail. Sentimental fidelity is a lie, nothing but an illusion. It does not exist. How can we be so pretentious to imagine the day our loved ones won't wish to frequent with others? We cannot alone be everything for one person. Think back, Stomach, think back. You seem to have quite a selective short-term memory. Remind yourself how many times already your sentiments have evolved. It's the same for L. No matter what statutes you give your relationships, you can never guarantee what will come of her sentiments. You cannot freeze what you have now forever. Who knows if X won't seduce L tomorrow? The couple status that you agree will maybe stop the sentiment translating into actions, but you can't stop the resentment. You cannot put declarations on emotions.
I want to decree our emotions. I want to have her presence.
Think about it, Stomach. All that you love in L, which makes her vibrate, it's her freeness, genuine unpredictability, right?
Si. Radiant, fresh, luminous, genuine, beautiful, sincere, direct, amazing, amazing.
You really love the inner freedom of L. L, who you want to hold so close to you. But if you imprison her, if you put her in your chains of love, she will change. You will see her censor herself, become contrary, guilty, obliged to you. That will be said. You won't love her anymore. You can't nourish your love or freedom on someone else who feels imprisoned. It doesn't work like that. The freedom dies.
So, tell me, how do I keep Elle and her freedom?
Don't try to keep her.
Wait a sec there. Get to the point. I want to keep at the same time the presence of Elle, as well as her desire, as well as her freedom. A couple doesn't work. To seduce her all the time will be far too stressful. There's got to be a solution. I must achieve a balance where her emotions won't dissolve. I must awake enough love in L so that she will always want to be with me. How to do it?
You wanted to create a desire for you in L that will last, but you can't. You cannot. Even if you could, it would be sad. You would be a manipulator. Except that there are some things that you can't own. Let happen that which is going to happen. You will see how liberating it is.
Yeah, how can I do that? How will I feel when I hear that L is with someone else at the same time as us? I will die of a broken heart.
You accept it. That's what is so interesting. To learn respect for the other, their freedom, the progress of their emotions.
No, I can't. When I learn that she is cheating on me with someone else, that will mean that she is not totally in love with me. It would be too hard to accept.
You will learn to be more independent. You learn to give yourself the security you need and to have confidence in yourself. You will learn to repair your ego problems, to fix things from the root problem. It helps nothing to you as a lover, as a substitute for healing the problems of the ego. It's fascist and vain. A low self-esteem can never be helped by someone else, not even in perfect love. There will always be doubts. Low self-esteem only increases
the inner state of mind and not the other attitudes. It borders on a question of personality, of understanding the world. It's the internal question that you learn to resolve.
But I imagine her taking heel with another guy, all smiley, laughing, lighthearted, even though I am suffering like a wimp in her absence. It's this imbalance that is so unfair. I am suffering because she is not here, and she is not even a bit touched, but even enjoying herself. It's like suffering in vain.
The moment where Elle is far away, it is reassuring to hear that she is also suffering in your mutual absence.
The times that Elle is away, and then when she returns. For sure I prefer to hear that she missed me and suffered without me, even when it's not true.
You prefer illusion to reality? How can we base a relationship on illusions? Why? Lying is just to save face mentality? What I am to do with your stomach? I prefer truth to comfort. I prefer authenticity, honesty, sooner than the tender but transparent bubbles that we construct for dealing with the world. We don't have to facilitate the world, we need to understand it. To live to the edge, we need not to not be like those who hide their misery and lie their whole lives away. We must go deeper. The deep pains that we feel are valid, if not more, than the shallow superficial pleasures. How can we change things? How do we progress in a certain manner if we base it all on lies? Deep pains help us move forward. It is better to work on your jealousy than to create a falsely comfortable environment. Go to the root of your trouble.
But it is I who lives the pain, you tyrant. Me who suffers, and you don't even understand what that is. Dictator, half circle.
Calm yourself. Try to understand what I say.
You try to understand what I feel. When we say to her, when we want to see her, for example, and she says, all mean-like, that she doesn't want us right then, that she is with someone else right now, it will be too much. I will suffer unbearably.
You will accept it. You must live more in the present. Get rid of all this encompassing image of Elle. Try to remind yourself of how nice it is to tell each other of your escapades when you see each other again.
And how do I do this, brain? How will I feel when her passion fades, when her love passes?
You accept it. You understand everything has a finish, that you must let go. Everything in life is movable fluid. The love of Elle for us will finish one day, as will our life. Accept it. Nothing is stable. Nothing is controllable. That's life. Accept the liberty of Elle. Accept that you will lose her someday. Maybe she finds someone else. Who knows?
Yeah. Old wives' tales. With your filthy talk, we will never come to anything. We abort the mission before the first flight. I have to keep Elle. I've got to try. I must try everything to keep her. Can you imagine if we abandon ship now, if we turn deaf ears on something that with only a little bit of effort we could have kept? Imagine if we pass so close to something so momentous.
But there you go. Complications. Try by all means necessary to find something to keep her the other, to hold them as your own. A measured box, a tightly fitting mask, you understand mathematics. If you act out your imprisonment, your efforts will be annulled.
I prefer these efforts to the risk of losing her.
You want to complicate your life?
It's you who complicates life. Remember what the old aunt told us?
Yes.
She said that non-exclusivity only works at one time, and it's simply when you're not truly in love. She said, take two lovers. They don't have to be in an open relationship because they don't even think of looking further. They want always to be only with each other. It doesn't mean anything when they say they can have anything with anyone because they only want each other. Then she gave another example. Take two people who like each other and maybe even love each other a bit. They have an open relationship where they don't mind if the other goes looking for more and they also do the same. It's simple. There's no reason for principles. It's the degree of emotions within a relationship that decrees if it's open or not. So voila, don't complicate my life with Elle. If we share a great desire, we form a fused couple.
But it's ephemeral.
If we had only a little bit of love for each other, we would form an open relationship, naturally, like everyone else.
What if the desire from both sides differed? If you love her more than she loves you, What would you demand her to see you all the time to become a fused couple?
No, surely not. That wouldn't be nice. I would have to stop seeing her. Like Aunt said, take two lovers again, one totally in love and the other not so deeply. There, an open relationship would be so painful that the story would have to finish straight away.
Because there is someone who could not put up with the other one, does other things without them. And another where an open relationship would fit perfectly. When she or he comes to see the other when she or he wants, she or he goes to see others when she or he wants, an open relationship gives them every right. It only should not be used as an ideological weapon to free him or herself when she or he wants, when she or he doesn't want to take into account that it will hurt the other.
Yeah, exactly what she said.
But that's why I complicate your life. Why would you wish to interrupt a relationship just because one love isn't as much as the others? If Elle accepts an open relationship, if she is okay to show emotions some of the time, why be masochist? Why refuse it?
Because it's hard. It's hard to be dangling on someone's every whim, to hold your breath till you get some tenderness, to be her puppet, to be so small, to think all day long about her and to pine for her when she is not there, to feel that the other is not also completely in love with me. My situation would be rickety and uncomfortable. It would have to finish.
Is this love worthy of such sacrifices, such giant leaps of abandon? You give love too much weight. When it's only really a paper tiger, can we not work on it? Modify it a bit?
It's too strong, too strong, too strong!
Just a moment ago you were telling me how beautiful it is. Now you admit that it is not that at all. From one second to the other you can't take the pain. You have had enough of only concentrating on this girl. That is the bottom of the problem. You have got to stop being dependent on the love of one or the other for you.
Exit a relationship of dependence.
Yes, but not in any old fashion. You think of freeing yourself from this person in the moment. I want to free you from dependence itself. Keep this relationship with Elle, but free yourself from this problem of dependence. What will only keep reappearing with every next person you have something with, no matter who that person is.
Act 2. A few weeks later. Elle is gone.
She didn't need to leave. We had an open relationship. Nobody was holding her back.
Yeah, except now she's not coming back. She wants nothing more to do with us. Open or not, she gives a shit. She's gone.
You just gotta accept it. She's free.
It hurts. It hurts.
Stop making a scene.
She said we were too complicated.
You were too much in love.
She said you were too far away from me.
She wanted to say that you are too far away from me. Stop your drama. You can't hurt.
It hurts so much.
You're letting yourself to be hurt. You could choose not to let it hurt. To let it hurt you. You're not hurt.
It hurts.
You're not hurt.
It hurts, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Listen to me. Listen how much I'm in pain.
Stop being hurt.
But I can't. Tell me how I can.
Calm down. Think of some other things. Or no, better yet, try to understand why you're hurt.
It hurts because she's no longer here.
Wait a bit. To understand better, go further. Think of Freud, the unconscious youth Oedipus abandon.
She's gone.
At least hold yourself together. How do you want to continue? To concentrate with you screaming around like that. So, Freud or rather Reich? Wait.
Listen, here, I'm in pain. There and also there, to the left and to the right, up and down and everywhere. Pain in lines, pain in dots, in black and white. It pulls and squeezes. It hurts. Everywhere it hurts like hell. I'm in super pain.
Ooh la la. But you're doing really bad, my little one.
Yes!
Calm yourself. Don't forget that a lone voyelle is enough. Tell me though. You scare me. Why are you hurting like that, you fool?
Because she's gone.
No, but that I know. I understood. But how does that make you hurt so badly? We've been through all this before. With my whole bag of re-education and love, I was sure that we had worked all that possessivity and dependence through. I thought you had dealt more with yourself.
that the idea of an open relationship had slowly taken hold.
You think non-stop, but you never listen to me.
Not true. I always ask where and how you have the pain and or the pleasure. And now, on the contrary, you surprise me with deep pain. You're a real pain. And I don't know how to make it better. I could tell you lots of fair things. It would change nothing. You would still hurt so much. Hey, stomach, why are you resisting me so? Hey, stomach, why are you resisting me so? You're my creation. Never forget that. I made you when you were still little. It was I who taught your emotions much to my pity now. It was through me that you learned social... Ja, kurze Entschuldigung. weiter geht's. It was through me that you learned social norms, those that cause you now this suffering. I told all this to you. Remember, it was I who told you this idiotic romantic idea of Princess Charming. Whoa, it's me. It was I who brought you in contact with the ridiculous Nya 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 songs, I love you forever, you love him and no one else. I was too young to stop myself. The whole of society formed you through me. These emotions you feel are not natural, they're conditioned.
The stomach pukes.
How does this cultural finesse impregnate us with such tripe? Till the end of our most atrocious agonies, how does it manage that?
The stomach pukes.
It's too unfair. Why can't I mold you like I once did when you were younger? I would like to deconstruct you, to free you from the absurd, useless cultural conditions.
How can you say my sufferings are conditioned? It's too deeply physically there.
My sufferings are not... No, by the whole... That's what sucks the most.
My sufferings are not cultured. The whole world suffers.
The whole world suffers, but not for the same reasons. We have been conditioned to be hurt by some things, but then they do really make us suffer. But can you think of exactly what it is that caused the suffering?
Her absence, the end of my life, it's the end.
Do you understand what I want to say? Everything has an end. Everything changes for the good or the bad. Our society gives the advantage to one or the other. For example, someone loses their job. If the society taught that person that working was the only way to live your life with sense, then they would suffer till death. On the other hand, if they are liberated from the working culture, they will be able to see their unemployment from an advantageous point of view. You see?
No.
But there are those who are hurt when they are told that someone close to them is homosexual. There are those who suffer if they hear that their favorite football team lost the finals. There are those who believe so much in the supernatural that if you say that they are cursed, they will act it out as if they were really cursed. They would die in 3 days. You believe very deeply in the Princess Charming, at the horror of finding her non-possessible. You believe that a couple is like a vector of solitude, of security, of knowledge. That when you announce that you will be celibate, you will collapse. So at the bottom of it all, our life hasn't changed that much. You will work it out in a few weeks. You will say, wow, it's crazy. Why did I suffer so much? You will not for the life of you be able to remember this exact moment. You won't understand the interesting in suffering anymore.
I don't know.
What counts in your life? A football team? A diploma? A career? A lover? You know well that it is all relative. There were things last year that are no longer important for you.
I don't understand. You aren't speaking my language. Tell me why she left.
She said we are too complicated.
She said you were too complicated. That you wanted so much to be in a non-possessive, non-oppressant, open relationship. And you finished up with being more possessive and oppressing than ever. That you were so scared of being heavy that you didn't even touch her anymore.
Yeah, she said that.
She said that you paid too much attention to respecting her, that you exaggerated. She could decide things for herself, but you took away even that possibility. That you were preoccupied with her wellness even before she needed looking after. That you were super patriarchal.
She wanted to say something else.
She said that you smother me, that you hide me, that you force me down, that you only have theory in your eyes, that you never let me express one inch of love.
I was afraid that the love would oppress.
At the end, she didn't feel anything. Only your fear. Only your calculations and complications. She said that we became hyper-brainy. Nothing more than intellect and theory. You hearing me? You take up too much space. You don't let me put a foot in the door.
Yes. It can be that we did too much reasoning. Why I reason? Because I try to understand what is going on with us. I try to be aware to let us evolve. I'm hurt by the critique on our reasoning from Elle. I thought she was also convinced, not just by me, of the necessity of working on the self even before radical militants.
Yeah, but you know well that she didn't accept that. Frozen people with it all in the head and nothing in the heart.
I loved her too much to let you smother her with your love.
So, in fact, I can never again pour my heart out. You loved her too much to let me love her. That's what's tiring. Your love extinguished everything else, except this intellectual love, these morals, these ethics. In my eyes, you give a shit. You didn't love her.
I'm trying to understand. I'm not against an emotional stomachly love. At least I don't think so. I just thought it could be more fine and with more fineness. And I was trying to transform.
I don't please you how I am. You find me fat.
Not fat. Heavy.
And so you wanted to transform me even quicker. She was bored of your experiments. She was sick to death of waiting. She is gone.
It's unfair.
It's so unfair.
I thought I had done everything right.
You always think. You always think you did right. You always think of thinking right. You think only of thinking. Always principles, morals, like the religious fanatics. That's what it is. You and your, what did you call it?
Anarchism.
Yeah, and what is that? A religious sect? Huh. Look, just like the religious, everything that's from your stomach, emotional, it's bad. It must be suppressed. Always the seven deadly sins. Power, selfishness, sexism, ageism, greed, security, exclusivity, and more to boot. You wanted us to become an angel, all sweet and perfect. You wanted us to create a monastery. You wanted me dead.
Oh no, no, I didn't want it. I won't allow it. In fact, I forbid it. Me, religious? No. It's true I have principles, but one of them is also not to hush up you and your emotion stomach.
And?
It's just that it's difficult to find a good balance. On one side to listen and on the other side to change.
Yeah, tell me, brain. Do you like me?
You annoy me with your emotions and loves.
Yeah, but like me. Like me. For you, I am a plague-ridden mongrel. You have no confidence in me. You judge me without stopping. You scared of me. You don't even talk with me.
It's already been like 10 pages that I talk with you.
Never a nice word. Only morals, critique and contempt. You hate me. And you didn't even let Elle like me.
What drama?
You speak to me like our father spoke to us.
And still, I wish to change you.
Like me first. Otherwise, you'll never be able to change me.
Maybe I'm sometimes a bit similar to a religious person, but you're sounding like an esoteric, mystical Baba
which is nothing better. I start feel bad.
Bad?
Yes. It's all so complex. I'm tired and it's only going in circles. I'm confronted with these really difficult problems. I wanted to politicize our amorous relationships, although politicizing is my domain and amorous relations is your domain. It's not like this that I wanted to politicize our discussions,
no.
Our language, our conception.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. No, wrong one. I am also present there in our discussions, our language, our consummation.
Yes, I know, but I don't know. I have the impression that you are less present than you are in our amorous relationships. I have really the impression of a head on strife between you and me. It's really complex, a sort of deadlock, the type of things that make me feel terrible. But maybe you have reason. I could see it that I imposed too many new things at once on you. I was too demanding. I should have tried sweeter solutions, a little more progressive.
Be a bit sweeter with me.
Sweeter with you? I don't know. I sometimes get the feeling that we are one big bourgeois and that we don't ask ourselves for enough effort.
Yeah, don't listen to those preachings.
Should we just muscle up our incorrect thoughts? Maybe after all that does nothing but reinforce them. Make monsters out of them. Give them a bigger power. Maybe we should find a way to know them. To tame them, and then slowly we could evolve.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I'm not against your experiments. I too want to change. Only you have to regard me as an ally, not an enemy.
For example, I could, without asking Al, be loyal to her. And ask her not to tell me of her infidelities. Not to tell us. Or concretify in front of our eyes. Voila, that's what I should have done. In any case, in this situation. At this stage of our deconstruction. On the one side, I would have been okay with my ideas. And then I also would have been dealing with you.
You should have respected me. Listened to me. At least taken me into consideration.
It's true that I didn't really ask anything of you while at the same time being totally too demanding on you. I treated you as if you were able to take it all in one go, like the religious. You have reason like the religious. Who ask the moon, but never reach one purity, only huge frustrations. You're not an underbeing or an underbelly. You're just as unable to always kept. To always keep your eyes on a constant wound. You are unable to constantly be aware of our faults.
At least, not all in one go. But bit by bit I get used to things.
If I get you used to... If I get you used to it, you will not longer see the wound.
That's it, but slowly, sweetly. I have to understand.
To understand yourself in three senses of the term. Firstly, understand your words, to listen to them enough to know their meanings. Secondly, understand the effects of them, sympathize with them. And thirdly, understand your surroundings, our own body, our train of thought, instead of rejecting it or banishing it like a fleer-ridden mongrel.
Yeah, but see here, it doesn't mean that you put yourself forward to speak in my place.
That's my way of understanding you. I reformulate what you say to make sure I understood it well.
Except that there, you don't just reformulate. You add a lot of wise sayings, and then I don't even know if it's exactly what I wanted to say anymore.
It's my manner of participating in this process.
Sure. If we decide to love unfailingly, more than loving someone any old way, huh? You wouldn't like that. You like to love in your manner.
Deconstruction. It's a constant ping-pong between you and me, a process of finding a way between you and me, a perceptiveness, attention, a smoothness. This is a moral of our story that I like better.
That's it. It's nice, this moral, full of hope. He has flowers in his eyes. Progress together, not the contrary. We could be friends, Brain.
Careful there. I don't want to say that I will compromise with political theories.
Your theories will remain the same. Your objectives remain radical. It's fair in this way to let them remain. You don't trample me. You give me a hand instead of a kick on my ass.
I will be more realistic as well. I will advance with nothing if ask too much of you.
We can be friends. The stomach sends a tripe towards the brain in a gesture of hugging. It's beautiful.
The end.
So, danke. Ich hoffe, dass ihr habt alle schon auf mindestens die Hälfte verstanden. Und ja, nächstes Mal wird, nicht nächste Woche, aber da wird sicher einmal noch mit einer deutschen Version. Für die letzten 10 Minuten, wir würden ein bisschen erzählen, was Sie haben für eine Stunde gehört über die Sans-Papier. Das waren verhaftet am Donnerstag. Und ja, wir haben nicht etwas Neues gehört, aber wir erzählen ein bisschen mehr.
Okay. Also, der FC Sans-Papier ist, also 5 Spieler der Mannschaft wurden verhaftet, sind um die 150 Polizisten aufgetaucht und das Ganze war eine ziemliche Spontanaktion. Genauso spontan wurde dann zum Glück mit einer Demonstration reagiert. Eine der Abschiebungen wurde versucht zu stoppen, wobei dies relativ, also zunächst relativ erfolgreich schien, da der Bus blockiert wurde. Einer der Reifen des Busses verlor seine Luft, was die Polizei dazu nötigte, dass sie einen weiteren Bus holen musste. Die Leute, die den Bus stoppten, ungefähr 40 in der Zahl, wurden daraufhin alle verhaftet. Das war seit den Opel-Ball-Demos die größte Zahl an gleichzeitig inhaftierten Personen, was eigentlich relativ bedenklich ist. Es ging dann noch bis spät abends Kundgebung vor der Rosauerlände. Samstag.
Wo noch einmal 7 Leute war festgenommen, aber nur kontrolliert, Papier kontrolliert.
Ja, am Samstag drauf war die 1. Mai-Kundgebung beim Museumsquartier, beim Markus Oma Fuma Stein. Um eben an die rassistische Politik zu erinnern. Die Kundgebung dort wurde zunächst eingekesselt, dann wurde per Megafon durchgesagt, dass diese Kundgebung nicht angemeldet war und dass die und somit illegal, und die Polizei wollte die Demo-Teilnehmer einfach einschüchtern und dem gemeint, dass sie nicht weitergehen darf. Dann ging es wieder weiter zu Rosauerlände. Dort gab es dann eben 7 Gewahrsamnahmen, oder?
30 Leute haben in kleinen Gruppen zum Rosauerlande gegangen. Und da war ein bisschen ein organisiertes, spontan neues Demo mit Transpies. Und eine kleine Gruppe davon, 7 Leute, war genommen und kontrolliert. Und dann direkt freilassen dabei.
Und heute Vormittag gab es noch bei einem Fußballspiel eine Flyer- und Transparentaktion.
Ja.
Ja. Zwei der Mitglieder des FC Sans-Papier befinden sich akut noch unter Abschiebegefahr. Und der nächste Termin ist für den 5. Mai angesetzt. Also heißt Augen und Ohren offen halten.
Ja.
Ja, das war es jetzt leider dazu.
Ein bisschen mehr Ankündigung.
Ein paar Ankündigungen, ja.
Ein paar Ankündigungen. Für diese Woche gibt es am Donnerstag die Politbeisel im EKH. Und da war ein Film geschaut. Angeschaut.
Ein Film wird gezeigt.
Gezeigt. Und ich lese vor der kleine Text zu diesem Film. Diesmal zeigen wir im Politdisco Beisel am 6. Mai den Film Dagegen muss ich etwas tun von Tina Leisch. Wie immer gibt es zum Film leckere Foku, zudem kommt den Regisseurin selbst vorbei und lädt zur Diskussion. Film Dagegen muss ich etwas tun, Porträt der Widerstandskämpferin Hilde Zimmermann. Kind des roten Wien, als jugendlich politische Aktivistin, als junge Frau im Widerstand gegen den Nationalsozialismus, mit Mutter, Bruder und Genossen verhaftet und nach Ravensbrück deportiert. Hilde Zimmermann war ihr Leben lang auf der Suche nach einem liebevollen Weg zum Sozialismus. Das filmische Porträt von Tina Leisch montiert Interviews, die Brigitte Halbmeier 1999 für das Videoarchiv Ravensbruch mit Hilde Zimmermann geführt hat, mit Erinnerung ihrer Mitstreiterinnen und Weggefährtinnen. Und ja, alle herzlich willkommen da. Diese Woche gibt es auch die IDA im 15. Bezirk.
Das ist im 15. Bezirk, hinterm Westbahnhof in der Zwölfergasse.
Da gibt es die anarchistische Camp Soli Party auf Freitag. Und ich glaube, ja, das wird ein bisschen Spaß geben. Da gibt es auch, ja. Samstag, die 8. Mai, gibt es eine Demonstration.
Samstag, den 8. Mai, sind alle herzlich eingeladen, die Niederlage der Nationalsozialisten zu feiern. Durch die Niederschlagung der Alliierten. Und es wird am Schwarzenbergplatz wie jedes Jahr eine Feier geben, zu der, ich schätze, jedes Jahr immer wieder Zeitzeugen kommen, und allein deswegen lohnt es sich schon sehr hinzugehen. Okay. Und es wird wahrscheinlich auch eine Demo geben, die im Zuge dessen auch angekündigt wird.
Also letzte Ankündigung, die ich werde geben heute, ist nicht für diese Woche, aber sonst in zwei Wochen, die dritte Sonntag im Monat. Jeden dritte Sonntag im Monat gibt es ein Café, und das ist immer in verschiedenen Orten in Wien. Jeden Monat ein anderer Ort. Und die Café ist immer über die Themen gegen Knast. Und diesen Monat wird die Thema über ein schwedische Gefangenen, das sitzt gerade in Schweden im Knast wegen Accusations. Er war verurteilt. Wegen Accusations of, Entschuldigung, ich kenne die Wort nicht, of ökologische Sabotage-Akt. Und ja, er sitzt gerade im Knast, und da war ein kleiner Aktionstag in ganz Europa letzten
Donnerstag,
weil er feiert Geburtstag und er ist viel in Isolation, und ja, er freut sich über Mails kriegen. Ich lese vor die Adresse, wenn jemand einen Brief schicken oder Musik oder ja, Fotos, irgendwas, er freut sich sicher.
Oder Postkarten.
Ja. Jonathan Strandberg, Box 248, nächste Line, 59323 Västervik, Schweden. Er wird sich freuen über alles, was er kriegt. Und Solidarität mit allen Leuten, die sitzen im Knast. Für jeden was. Ja.
Gut.
So, danke für Anhören. Ich hoffe, dass ihr habt ein bisschen verstanden über einen Weg mit Open Relationships, und dass wir kann immer über Beziehungen in anarchistischen Kreisen überdenken und arbeiten daran.
Daran?
Ja. Und ja, viel Spaß mit der nächsten Sendung. Und bis nächsten Sonntag. Jeden Sonntag anarchistisches Radio um 20 Uhr.
Ciao.